Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
We've been doing this series about the next level. And there's been a couple of episodes of this. And I say episodes because we put them as podcasts and the sermons are up on the website. So if you've missed one, I encourage you to go back. This is an introduction for the next level. We want to talk about the next level. And what we've learned is the next level, there's a way to get there, and God's way is straight. So we're just reminding you for a second, this message is about focus. In order to get to the next level, you need to be focused. You need to take a straight course. You need to create a straight course in your life for God to move. And so that was about focus. We did another message about running the race, and this was about momentum and gaining momentum. We talked about how you can jump farther if you're running than when you're just standing still. We talked about stopping and starting, and we learned that God is calling you, he's calling me, he's calling every one of us forward. Forward. God is calling us forward. The next level is going to require focus, and the next level is forward. We did one more message. We did it on Father's Day, and we talked about redemption. We talked about redemption, and what we learned about redemption is it's not just redemption from the woes of your past, the parts of your past you want to forget, the parts of your past that you're ashamed of. It's not just the past that you want to go away. God can help you. He can forgive you. He can redeem you of your past. Sure. But God also is taking your past, the good parts of it, the dreams, the passions, the hopes of your past, and he's redeeming those. He's restoring those and allowing you to have a future that is bright. Church, do you understand? God is redeeming your future. And there was no pun intended, there was no surprise that if you put these together, God is telling you you have a very straightforward future, church. Somebody's laughing. Somebody gets it. It is a straightforward future. It's to the next level, church. And we got to get there. I've talked a lot about what it is. But today, church, I'm going to give you a key. I'm going to give you a key so we can discover how to get there. Does anyone want to hear about it? Anyone want to hear about the key about going to your next level? Not my next level, not Kingsway's next level, but your next level. So we want to talk about the key. We want to discover the key to your next level, and I want to share it with you. But in order to do that, I need to take you to class. Sure, we have classes on Sunday and Wednesday, but in this moment here, for a few moments, if you will entertain me, I want to take you to the school, Simon. And I want to talk about what I love talking about. See, I'm not an English guy. I wasn't a history guy. I was a math and science guy. I was a physics guy. I was a chemistry guy. I loved math and sciences and formulas and algorithms. I still do today. And for those of you who recall their school days, recall high school and taking physics, you may remember one of these laws. There's lots of laws of physics, like gravity, like acceleration, like friction. But here's a law. It's the third law of Newton. It goes something like this. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. It's about the force. It's about the magnitude. If there's an action, there's another force of action against it. It also means that whatever direction that force is in, if it's going this way, there's an equal and opposite force going this way. And so we know about this all the time in everyday life. When you hit the gas pedal in your car, when you hit the gas pedal, you push it down, it then creates a force and energy on your tires. They spin. And that force then allows it to hit the ground and push it backwards. The road literally is pushed backwards and your car is pushed forward. If you go up against a wall today or a podium and I begin to push, the podium pushes back. It's equal and opposite. If I push this much, it's pushing back that much. If I push back more than it could push back, it then falls over. Equal and opposite reaction. If I throw a ball against that wall, it's going to hit the wall, and what's it going to do? It's going to bounce right back at me, equal and opposite. Is this law too confusing today, or is this law okay? It's okay. You know, I'm not trying to take you. I know notes here. These are not on the back of the thing where you have to take notes. You know, is he taking me to class? No. What I want you to know is that there's laws of physics. And as we know, the laws of this earth, the laws of nature, they parallel our spiritual laws in every way. So math and science, here, this is law of physics. It parallels what I call the laws of nature. The laws of nature are what we live and breathe every day. In other words, if you don't understand math and science or Newton, you will understand this. For everything you do, every action you have, there is a reaction. This is what I refer to as the laws of nature. And so if I take it to the third level, you know, I would like to say the laws of the supernature, the supernatural. I'm going to call it the laws of heaven because we're all in Christendom today and we know what heaven is and we know that's where God resides and we know his son is sitting at the right hand of him and we know he's interceding for you and I and he's helping us and he's sending his Holy Spirit down to give us power here on earth. And it's so easy. I just sit in my pew and everything just is going to work out amazingly. My life's going to be great and I love being a Christian. That's the Christianity you all know, right? That's not the one I know. You see, because the laws of heaven, they teach me this. They teach me that for each one of our actions, God has his own reaction. To say it differently, for each one of our actions, God has his own reaction. I want that to settle in for a moment. Everything you do, God observes. Everything you say, every place you go, everything you think, he's a part of. And by the way, it's just like a parent. You're his child, so he cares very deeply for you. And unlike us, he doesn't take his eyes off of us. Now, this is not to mean judgment, right? There are thoughts that come in our mind that Satan is tempting us with. He's observing you in that temptation. What do you do? How do you handle it? How are you dealing with it? You know, the Bible makes it very clear, just in case you're wondering, is this even scriptural? I'll make it very, very clear for you. Romans makes it very clear. There's no debate about it. It's very simple. For the wages of sin is death. Because mankind sins, action, there must be a reaction, death. The story goes on and it gets far better. Because there's death, there must have been a sacrifice. And because there was a sacrifice, he brought in salvation. And because there was salvation, he went down to the depths of hell and took the keys. He was able to come up and bring resurrection. And because there was resurrection, there came power. And that's what we believe as a church. It's not just enough to come together as people. It's not just enough for me to pump you up and talk about purpose. We believe that there is power in his name. But in order to get that power, that's his reaction, there must be an equal action on our behalf. Are you with me, church? So you say to me, what is the key? What is the key? I want you to discover the key to your next level. Are you ready for it? Because I thought this was very unique. I was searching it. The Lord made it on my heart, and I'm a communicator. I'm not just going to tell you anything. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to make a rhyme. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make a video. I'm going to make a picture. I'm going to communicate any way I can to get through your head to what God is saying to me. And hopefully it trickles down in your heart. And I got lots of people helping me do it, by the way, and I couldn't do it without them, so I'm very thankful for that. So one of those people, in this case, was the people who like to post stuff on Facebook. So I was looking for a message, a picture to communicate this, and so I pulled one down, and I was showing it to my wife as she was looking over the message, and she says, everyone has seen that one 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times. It's not new. I thought it was new to me, because here's the key. It's all over Facebook, by the way. Here is the key to the next level. The key... The key is you. Who? Me. Who? You. The key, church, is you. God has already planned it. God has already purposed it. God has already provided it. He's waiting for you. The key for the next level in your life is you. The key to the next level for Kingsway is you. The key to the next level in the kingdom of God is you. Last time I checked, God did his part. He came to the earth. He gave his life. He even decided he sent his spirit to help you. So when you want to know who the key person in church, the most important person in church, it's you. Amen? The next level is not merely something that just happens during a typical day. The next level doesn't happen to you. The next level is achieved. The next level is earned. It is sought after. There's no participation award to the next level. You can't just flow through life and make it to the next level. God honors our intentions. God honors our intentions, church. So what are your plans for today? For tomorrow, for this week, for this year? What are your intentions? Because that is what the Lord wants to share with you today. That is what the Lord has put on my spirit. He want on my spirit more. That's what the next level is, more. But not in this consumeristic American ideology where we need more of anything we see, more of any experiences we have. You know, I wondered, why am I so compelled to want more? Why do I want this or want that? And as a pastor, I'm no different than you. I see, I feel, I live, I want more. And I say to myself at times, that's from the devil, that's from Satan. He's trying to convince me to pull out of things that I'm focused on and distract me with things of this world. And he's doing that to each and every one of us. He does it special ways, unique ways. He cares about you. Believe me, he's got a plan for you, Satan does, and he's attacking you. But I wonder, why does he attack us in this way? Why this way? That's because the more that's inside of us was there. It's always been there. There's a hole, a gap, a place for more. Our souls, our spirits want more. Satan's just first in line to fill it. You see, God wants more for you. God wants more for your spiritual journey, for your spiritual walk. He wants more for your life, not just prosperity, not just health and wealth. He does give those things as well, but he wants more in your ministry. He wants more in your relationships. He wants more in your children's lives, and he wants to do it through you. He wants more. And this is how it works, church. Here is the key. I put it on the screen so we would not miss it. The more intentions we offer God, the more intentions we offer God, the more attention he offers us. Did you hear that, church? The more intentional you are with him, the more attention he is with you. We must be intentional with our God. You want attention today? Who do you want it from? Who are you going after? Where is your focus of your attention? Where do you want attention from? Because in my list, it's pretty easy. I want attention from God 80% of the time, and the other 20%, I take it from my wife. If I could get 20 minutes of her attention, it would make me melt, but I'll take the 5 she gives me. But that's because she's with the kids all the time. But if I had 80% of God's attention in my life, think about what that would do for me. Think about how you feel during a worship service when you begin to let the week dissipate, the week fade away, and you can imagine God focusing just on you. That's attention, and it's because you're intentional about worshiping him. Can you follow me, church? This message is about effort. It's about effort. What effort are you putting in? And it's not just the effort of coming and volunteering or giving money or praying or worshiping or reading your Bible. All those things are necessary, yes. But he's concerned with your intentions. If you intend to come and volunteer, and something happens and something gets amok and you can't come, you can't make it, you feel bad and maybe the leader gives you a hard time, but God understands your intentions. Whereas if you tell somebody yes and then you plan the whole week away and you had no intention of ever coming, oh, he notices that intention as well. Are you following me, church? Get your intentions in order today. And look, intentions are very much like goals. If you make them very lofty, you probably won't reach them. I had a gentleman I used to spend time with. He was a very mature Christian, but he wasn't very charismatic. He didn't really know. He didn't wear faith on his shoulders. You know, he would go around, and when I would ask him questions about things, and he would begin to share things with the Lord with me, and then I would ask him to meet up at times. I remember this like it was yesterday. I would always ask him to meet up. Can we meet up, and you share this with me about the Bible, or share this with me about what the Word has to say, or what the Lord's doing in your life? And he would always use these words for me. He would say, sure, 12:30 lunch tomorrow. He says, I intend to be there. Yeah, you want to go play basketball? I intend to be there. His intentions were to be there, recognizing that sometimes the ways of this world come upon us, accidents and other people's plans, and sometimes we don't make it, but our intentions are what we're trying to tee up here. Our intentions are what we're trying to focus on. All right, let me give you some scripture. I know I haven't gotten into much scripture yet, but I'm trying to reduce the number of scriptures in my messages so that we can focus more. I give you a lot, and now I'm trying to allow you to focus. It's going to be simple summer. So I'm not going to give you the scriptures as much as I'm going to give you the stories right now. The first story I want to remind you is of a wee little man. His name was Little Zacchaeus. Short and sweet, like my wife is, and how she tells me my messages should be. So, little Zacchaeus is a great little man with a big story. And I'm just teeing this up because it's going to be a message I preach really soon. So I'm not going to preach the whole message, but know this about it. And you can look it up in scripture. You'll find it very easily. It's a story about a man who wanted more perspective on Jesus. He wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to be around the Lord. He wanted to be in his presence, church. You see, but he was in the midst of a crowd, church. He couldn't get to him, church. There was too much distraction. There were too many people. There was no way to be in his presence. There was no way to get to the next level and see the Lord. So what did he do? The story is pretty simple. You know what he did? He climbed a tree. Just so that he could lay his eyes on our Lord and Savior. A wee little man climbed the tree. And as you can see from this picture, Jesus took notice. Now, let me ask this to you, church. The whole crowd was there. I don't know how many people. Let's say a couple hundred people as Jesus was walking through. Did he love all those people? Of course he did. Did he care about all those people? Of course he did. Would he have died for all of those people? Of course he did. Did he notice all of those people? Now, this is a theological question, because God knows all things, sees all things everywhere. We can only speculate that, of course, God noticed every single one of them. But who, the Focus Church, did God give his attention to? We come to church every Sunday, and there's only 100 people here or so. If you want God to focus on you, you should consider focusing on him. Because this little man decided to take some pretty severe intentions, climb a tree, just to get some attention from our Lord and Savior. A wee little man was he. Maybe I'll get Amber or somebody to sing that song, or maybe one of the kids. We teach one of the little kids, we'll have them up singing the song. I think it's a cute song. Here's another story. One of my favorite stories. I talked to one of the youth, maybe talk to Eric or one of our actors. They can act this out, or I can help them do it. Blind Bartimaeus. What a small story in the Bible. Small story. It's a story of a blind man. It's pretty simple. He's a blind beggar on the side of the street. You've come across beggars before. Maybe not blind. Maybe they're sick in their mind. Maybe they're addicted to something in this world. They can't overcome on their own strength. They often smell. They often are in your way. They're often to be ignored. And oftentimes you may think, there's not much I can do. I'm not going to give them money. You know, I'll pray, but they won't listen. I'm busy. You pass them all the time. You see, go down to Baltimore and you'll see what I'm talking about. It was no different back then. This blind man was amongst the parade. There's a parade that's going to happen in Bel Air and White Marsh. I don't know where all the parades will be on Tuesday, but I assure you the police will remove all the vagrants. They will remove all of the homeless people. So when the parade comes by, there'll be nice, pretty pictures. That was the scene here. The parade was coming by. Jesus was the show, and everyone was cheering for him. Jesus, you're great. We love you. I don't know if he really cared about all that, but there was a blind man, a beggar, sitting there, and they were trying to hush him. They were trying to push him away. And he yelled, Jesus! Didn't say it like that, but he said, God, Lord God, Son of David! In his heart and his soul, have mercy on me. And they hushed him up. They pushed him away. He got attention all right. Oh, I can't preach that message yet. That's coming later. That's coming in a couple weeks. He got attention, just not the right kind. Eventually, Jesus took notice, but it required some serious effort on this beggar. Effort for him to be intentional, to scream out, Jesus, 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 Lord, Lord, Lord. I'm not getting what I want, so I'm going to scream louder. I'm not getting the attention I want, so I'm going to go harder. I'm going to give you all the effort I have because there's only one attention I want, and that's from you. Church, there are so many stories like this. I could go on and on. The woman with the issue of blood. Attention, attention, attention. She couldn't be healed. She needed to seek out Jesus, and she needed to push out the crowd and get to him. Very difficult task, and she did it. One of my favorite stories, all of these I'm going to be preaching this summer. How about you tell me today the effort you need to put forth? You can't do it yourself. You know what God wants you to do, but you are unable to do it yourself. So what do? You pray, God, help me. God, help me do this. God, help me to the next level. I can't do it on my own strength. Any of us felt that way before? Many of us think, and many pastors will say, God will give you the strength. And I think many people interpret that as you'll just be stronger tomorrow. But this man in the Bible, he was laying on a bed. He was a paraplegic. He couldn't move. He physically couldn't go to what he needed to go. He couldn't get there. And so when he prayed, God didn't give him the strength physically. He gave him the strength in his community. And people came to his aid, and they literally lowered him down a roof. They busted a hole and lowered him down and dropped him on Jesus' lap. Now that's intentions. To get his attention. For every action, there is a reaction. In every one of these instances, God stopped the world to react. Zacchaeus, he changed his life. Jesus changed his life because of this action. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus changed his life because of this action. And I'm not talking about this, he made him feel better, or he made him get a better job. He completely transformed his life. It wasn't the same, it was a completely different path. The woman with the issue of blood, God changed her life. The man lowered down on the parchment changed his life. God brought a reaction because of their action. Are you following me, church? So the key here is simple. The key is you. Where are your intentions? Where are your intentional actions? Because that is what God wants to react to. The more you are intentional with God, the more attention he offers you. So the question is, what are you willing to do? There's a road, you're on it. And many of you are looking at it like, this next level is far away. I gotta take classes, or I gotta raise money, or I gotta understand this Bible, or I gotta feel better, or I gotta look better, or I gotta whatever you're putting in your mind when you look at that journey. The Lord is saying, yeah, there's a journey in front of you. I get it. That's where the next level is. It's going to require some action on your behalf. It's going to require some intentions in the midst of the crowd. Will you push through? It's going to require you to climb a tree. Will you climb it? It's going to require to be lowered down from a roof. Will you be lowered today? As I said, this message is a message about effort. I believe strongly that God is a responsive God. He responds to us. And God's respond to our effort. The Holy Spirit, the word says, draws us. At the moment it draws us, that is the difference. That is the difference between Christianity and many other religions. It's at that moment when the Spirit draws us that we have a moment to respond to Him and say, I will serve you despite what this world shows me. I will acknowledge that you are good all the time. And all the time, you are good, or you don't. I like to say, He reacts to us reacting. When we react to this world, He will react to us. And the more positive we are to those around us, the more positive He will be to you. He responds to us responding. When we respond to Him, He responds with His Holy Spirit. He responds with strength. He responds with provision. He responds with health. Church, are you tracking with me? Amen. Many of you are like, I need to hear from the Bible itself. Your words aren't good enough. Show me one from this book. Sure, I'll show you one. I'll show you one of my favorite verses of all time. When the Lord told me to preach this sermon, I couldn't be more excited. I am holding back my excitement, church, because the microphone won't allow me to express how passionate I am about this verse. This is the verse that was placed in the first Bible I was ever given. I had Bibles, but this was a Bible, not this one in my hand, but the Bible I study out of, the Bible I prepare for. I was given this Bible by a man who taught Sunday school, a man who loved the Lord, a man who understood God in a way I only hope to understand Him. Later on, this man was to be my father-in-law. He still is. And in the front of that Bible, he put this verse. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says in the King James, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness and all these things will be added on to you. That's what I've been saying to myself forever. But, you know, today in modern language, we say it like this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will, say it with me, he will, church, give you everything you need. Church, you do not need to go to college or seminary or our Sunday school classes or understand every word in this Bible to comprehend this verse. This is God reacting to you. This is God saying, I will show you the attention when you give me the intention. It is saying, seek God. Seek God. And he makes it clear, not any God, but the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the one true living God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Seek him. Seek him, church. Make this your intention. I just told you it's the key to the next level. I had a man I met with who was helping us do something at the church. He was a vendor. He was providing a service. And he came in and he says, I normally don't work with churches. I'm excited to work with you. And he's working with me. And he's like, man, you're so excited. You're so passionate about this. I mean, I get it. He wasn't a passionate guy. He's like, I want to share with you my key to my walk with Christ. He blew me away. Not many people come into the church and tell the pastor they want to share their key to the walk with Christ. And he says, and I should have had it. I don't have one on me. Anybody got keys on them? Give me a key. The car key, any key. There we got plenty. Thanks, ladies. He pulled out his key. He says, see this key? I use it every day. It's my car key. I have to go to work, and every morning I go. Even on Saturdays I go. On Sundays I go to the market, and then I go to church. I need to get in my car every single day, so I pick up this key. This key is in my hand every day. And the day I realized that, I realized it was the key to my salvation. I said, how so? He said, easy. I take this key every night when I get home, It's in my pocket. And when I take my pants off, I take the key out and I put that key right under my bed like that. He says, because every morning when I need to go where I'm going, I need to get down on my knees. And at that moment, before I reach for that key, I know what I need to reach for, the kingdom of heaven. That same man designed and gave me a huge discount to put the words on the side of our building, Kingsway Christian Center. Amen? So I tell you today, our intentions matter to seek him every moment of our day, to find a way to make him center of what we're doing despite what we're doing, to somehow put him first, to seek him above all else, live righteously, and he will give us all that we need. We may not even know what we need, but he does. And so I want to share with you, and this I didn't put all the words on there because I want you to open your Bible. I encourage you this moment to open your Bible. I don't care if it's on your phone, if it's the version in front of you, if it's the neighbor has a Bible and they don't want to skim through it, you grab it, you skim through it. My wife called, I don't know, you call it Bible swords or something like that? It's like, who can find it first? Who can find a verse? Matthew 7, verse 7. Who's got it? There we go. She won Bible swords. Bridget, you lose. She tells me that she never has lost Bible swords. She didn't know it was coming. You did, Jen. She's very good. You know, I make her look up. I always give her these random verses. I'm like, find Lamentations 2:16. I got it. You know. Anyway, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I want you to read it with me. I'll read it out loud. You read it in your heart. Read it in your spirit. Because it's so simple. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened onto you. I love the King James flavor of this. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. You see, then there's a verse 8, and I love verse 8, because verse 8 is about, you don't get it. You don't get it. We understand seeking is hard. Asking people for things is hard. Knocking to get access is hard. So in case you didn't get it, he gave us verse 8 to be very clear. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, it will be opened. Church, this blew my mind this week when I was studying it. Because I always thought of this in the context of Jesus Christ and seeking him and pursuing him and knocking on the door for him and the door will be opened, as it says in Revelations. I always thought of it that way, church. But I got to preach this part right here. I got to preach it. Do you know, he's also telling us, if you seek this world, you'll find it. If you ask for more of this world, you'll get it. And if you knock down doors in this world, they'll eventually open up. Is that what you really want? Satan is more than happy to oblige. But God is telling you, seek him and you will find him. He will give you more of him. Seek him and he wants to be found. He wants to pour into you. These are the intentions I ask you for right now, church. I'm going to lay one thing on you as I close here. I'm going to put this banner up here, and I want to share these three words with you about this verse 7 and 8. The first word we hear is to ask. Church, some of us want to go to the next level. If you want to be at the next level, if you want your life to change, you're tired of the mundane, you know that you've been through many levels and you really desperately want the next level, God is telling you to ask for it. That's why he used the word ask. If you ask him, it infers desire. You want something. If you want something today, ask him. We serve a God who understands what you want. Amen? But there's some other of you in here. You have a hope. You have a dream. You have a desire. And the reason it uses the word seek is because there are times in life where those things, those hopes, those dreams, those desires, they're lost because of circumstance. They're lost because of the thorns of this world. They're lost because we put our attentions on other things. Now it seems murky and hidden and we can't find it. So the God is saying to us, If you hope for it today, seek him. Seek him, church. Some of you today have desires you need to ask God. Some of you today have hopes you need to seek him. And there's one more group of you out there. There's one more group. I didn't make this up. It's right here in Scripture. There's a bunch of you today who there's something so basic, so natural. There's something that's so primitive in your spirit that it requires God. It is not a desire or a hope. It is a need. It is a desperation. There's something in you that knows that you need to do this, that you need to move to the next level. You need more of God. And he says to you that you must simply knock. You must come to his door and knock on it and ask for access. And as you walk through, seek him. That's how it works, church. Today, the secret, the key to the next level, church, is you. It's you and your intentions. If your intentions are that you're going to figure this all out by yourself, good luck. If your intentions are to work this with your magic, good luck. But if your intentions are that you need him, he will show you the attention that he showed Zacchaeus on the tree, that he showed the woman with the issue of blood, that he showed blind Bartimaeus on the road, that he showed the man that he lowered. He will show you the attention to give you exactly what you need, what you hope for, and what you want. As you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. The secret is you. The key is you. So in this moment, here is you. Here is you. And I'm sure older or younger, we've all faced a road before. And I tell you this day, the spiritual journey we each are on is a road like this. And I want to remind you today before I ask you of something. I want to remind you today that as you progress down your road, as you progress to the next level, things become harder. The next level requires more effort than the one before. Perhaps you started with just saying yes to Jesus. Well, that was effort. Then maybe one day you came up to allow the elders to pray with you. That's more effort. Then another day you intentionally changed your music playlist to listen to praise and worship music. More effort. Then you set a daily devotion reminder to read a little more of your Bible. Effort. Study more. Effort. Pray more. Effort. Attend more services. Effort. Seek your friends out and share the word of God with them. Effort. Pray for your children when they're sick. Effort. Are you following me, church? It requires your effort today, and each level requires a little more. There's always an obstacle, a crowd. There's always a journey to be on, and there is effort that is required from you. We must be willing to climb. We must be willing to endure, to push through, and to seek him, church. We must be willing.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with his people, his purpose, and his power. God bless you.